Can you hear it? It's amazing how clearly we can hear music in our heads. We carry it around with us. It gets deep inside of us. It delights us, moves us. It stirs both our souls and our bodies. Sometimes it even irritates us, like that song or commercial jingle you can't get out of your mind no matter what you do. Advertisers certainly understand the power of music. Cultures the world over have known this power, the power of music to motivate, to keep up morale, to inspire, to heal, even the power to create the world. In Greek mythology, the muses, from whom we get the word music, are goddesses who invent the seven-tone musical scale, the scale that was seen as a reflection of the music of the celestial spheres. So to the ancient Greeks, the very structure of the universe is music, and those who imitate the celestial music by playing a lyre are said to have entered the sacred realm. In Hopi mythology, the world was born when Spider Woman molded two creatures out of earth and sang a creation song over them. In some African mythologies, the world comes into being with the beating of a drum. Ethiopian folklore speaks of the early times when the first humans sang rather than spoke. I picture them walking around singing recitative and arias like an opera. The Ethiopian folklore says that humans eventually forgot the melodies, and now we just have to use ordinary speech. In India, the universe is built upon the primal chant, Om. All existence and all that happens depends on the sound of Om. For the mystic Muslim poet Jalaluddin Rumi, music is woven into the world and into all of us. I want to offer a beautiful poem by Rumi that recently I had the pleasure of singing a musical setting of that was written for the choir I sing in for its 50th anniversary. We have fallen into the place where everything is music. The strumming and the flute notes rise into the atmosphere. And if the whole world's harp should burn up, there would still be hidden instruments playing, playing. This singing art is sea foam. The graceful movements come from a pearl somewhere on the ocean floor. Poems reach up like spindrift and the edge of driftwood along the beach, wanting, wanting. They derive from a slow and powerful root that we cannot see. Stop the words now. Open the window in the center of your chest and let the spirits fly in and out. To Rumi, that opening allowed music to flow within and without. Music has the power to heal. In Hindu mythology, the gods gave mortals music to alleviate human suffering. In the Hebrew scriptures, David cures King Saul by playing his harp. In ancient Egypt and Greece, priests and priestesses chanted over the sick. Among Native Americans, shamans sing songs, beat drums, and shake rattles to heal the sick. Many of us instinctively run to music for therapy. We run to it to relieve pain. Sometimes we play music to feel more deeply, to allow ourselves to feel, to experience perhaps even grief and pain more fully as we allow ourselves to work through it. We may sing when we're afraid, when we're feeling blue, even when we're angry. Once, when I needed healing, I went to a seminar at Esalen Institute titled Singing Gestalt. We sang our hearts out. We didn't worry about what it sounded like. We just sang to get all those feelings out. It was a very powerful experience. Throughout the centuries, songs arose from the world's wars, from tragedies, from economic depressions, from ghettos and concentration camps, out of poverty and plenitude alike. A rabbi, Sidney Greenberg, has said, "A people that lives sings. A people that sings lives." Out of the deep suffering of African Americans under the yoke of slavery, there arose a type of song, a new type of music that in turn gave rise to new and now familiar musical forms, jazz and blues, gospel and soul, Motown and doo-wop and rock and roll. Music is in our bodies. It's in the beating of our hearts. It is in the rhythm and songs of the natural world. Music is a primary experience, an experience of depth beyond words and concepts. It reaches down deep, dropping a plumb line into our very being, creating a connecting link between our finite selves and the eternal. Music, you could say, sacralizes existence. Theologian Gerardus van der Leeuw once said, "Music creates heaven on earth. It is at root a mimicry of heaven." To me, anything by Mozart is the sound of God humming. I can be so transfixed by a Mozart symphony or concerto that I lose myself. I melt into the timeless moment created by the music until there is no more me. There is just the music. There's some music being made out there. Perhaps many of you have experienced this self-transcendence through music as well. I can also be spiritually moved deep in my bones, though in a different way, by the soulful gospel-like song of someone like Aretha Franklin, calling out for a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And I can likewise be lifted into a higher and wider vision of justice and equality than mere words can produce when I sing with a community of like-minded folks, as we do here every Sunday, singing hymns and songs of freedom and yearning, of love and celebration. There is something in the music itself, not just in the words, that brings people together, that unites people in a common expression of our humanness. Some of the most magnificent music ever written or performed is religious music. The Latin masses of many great Western composers, the complex ragas of sacred Hindu music, the haunting traditional Hebrew melodies, Muslim prayer chants, and the art form known as a hymn, which needs no orchestra or soloists, but only the human voice and perhaps a single instrument for accompaniment. The hymn is a democratic form of religious music. We can all participate, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, because we all have this one instrument, the voice. It's no wonder that Martin Luther, who believed in the priesthood of all believers, was such a promoter and master himself of the great art form of the hymn. Speaking personally, I love singing hymns and songs with a congregation. As a young Catholic, I felt singing deprived. We didn't sing hymns in our masses in the old days, although now Catholics do sing hymns. In my long-ago Catholic days, the Mass was sometimes chanted, which I preferred, but only the priest did the chanting. It is said that we Unitarian Universalists don't sing hymns very well because we are always reading ahead to see if we agree with the words. But I believe that we as a whole movement are singing better in recent years, We're also singing more varied types of hymns and songs, such as those in the newer teal hymn book. Even the gray hymn book is a radical departure from the one before it. Some of you remember that old blue hymnal. It's radical in its departure because it includes a much more variety of types of hymns and songs from many different cultures. Whether sung or performed or simply listened to, music is a vehicle for transcendence. It's a healing balm. It's a filament that links us all, echoing the rhythms of our bodies and the pulse of the universe. One of the best descriptions I've heard of music is this anonymous one. Music is what feelings sound like. I close with the words of a Unitarian activist, writer, and abolitionist, Lydia Maria Child, who wrote these words in 1845 after listening to a strain of music. While I listened, music was to my soul what the atmosphere is to my body. It was the breath of my inward life. I felt more deeply than ever that music is the highest symbol of the infinite and holy. With renewed force, I felt what I have often said, that the secret of creation lay in music. Sound led the stars to their places.